Again, the ball in his hands, in the paint, floater, short, got it back, ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Sox for the win.
Welcome to the NCAA show, brought to you by 265 Media. I'm Daniel Artest. That's K-Dot Kevin Lewis right there from Hoop is Unhailed. Man, listen, before we get into this show, though, just make sure y'all following 265 Media, all the podcasters and stuff that we got going on. Hoop is Unhailed, the Daniel Artest podcast, the NCAA show, the NBA show, and the WNBA show, which is debuting really soon. Don't forget to also follow the Off the Glass podcast as well, Jocks and Nerds United, Unlimited Sports podcast. Everybody is a celebrity, the sports counselor and everything, man. We got so much stuff, man. If I miss everybody on the network, man, sorry, but we got to get into this game, man. Listen, a really, really, really big game that happened tonight. One on a buzzer beater by Jalen Suggs. Gonzaga continues their undefeated season. They are at 31-0, beating UCLA in overtime, 93-90. K-Dot, man, like, what the hell just happened, man?
Listen, I'm going to tell you what happened. Drew Timmy happened. Joel Ayayi happened. Corey Kispert happened. And most of all, Jalen Suggs happened. Fact. I mean, we talked about Gonzaga all season long, how good they were offensively, how good they could be defensively. And I mean, they showed it tonight. I was impressed with Gonzaga. They've been just blowing teams out all year long, and they really didn't have a challenge. And one thing that I do want to say, I have to give Mick Cronin and that UCLA staff and that entire team huge kudos, because for them to start off in the first four, defeating Michigan State, to come all the way to the Final Four, and they have a shot at winning it in double overtime if it wasn't for Jalen Suggs and that half-court shot. I mean, who knows what would have happened at that point. But I have to give much respect to UCLA. They didn't give up. I got to give credit to those guys. I got to give credit to Corey, Tiger, Johnny, you know, and there were a few others that made some big plays tonight. And it was just an amazing game, man. You know, I enjoyed every bit of it. We both talked about it last night, saying we better have good games. I mean, yeah. Of course, the first one wasn't as spectacular, but this one was definitely a spectacular one. So kudos to Gonzaga for pulling it off. And we're going to have a one versus one matchup on Monday, Gonzaga and Baylor. So let's get it.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's make it happen. UCLA was tough, man. They was relentless and everything, you know, but damn, that headshot from Jalen Suggs, man, was just got him up out of there, man. Shout outs to Johnny Juzang of the Juzang clan. You know, I'm a member of the Juzang clan, you know, 29 points, 6 rebounds for him. Really emotional day for him as well, because he had a brother, his family came from Vietnam to see him. He didn't see them in months. So I seen a video of him, you know, nice. Seeing his brother and stuff like that. So he was definitely inspired. I like that Jaquez, man. You know what I mean? Jaquez Jr., 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Really tough dude, man. Tiger Campbell was actually ready to play too as well. And Cody Riley. I don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? Hitting face-up jump shots the entire game. He made Drew Timm pay for his when he was showing out on them picks and stuff like that, and leaving Cody Riley open for hitting them shots and stuff, man. So I was actually, you know, surprised and stuff. And then just talking about Gonzaga, man, like Drew Timm. Like you said, man, like he, big part of this game, K-Dot, you know, took over in overtime with those post moves and stuff like that. Also Ayayi played a big game too as well, but Cody Riley actually offset Ayayi's big game too as well. Jalen Suggs, 16 points, you know, was just being a, you know, regular floor general that he was until he decided to just end the game or whatever and then hit the shot or whatever. Corey Kispert was really good too as well. he didn't really do too much, but you know, he was still there too as well. There was a point in the game where we can't forget about the block. Oh my God, we cannot forget about the block, K-Dot. You know, that block when Cody Riley goes for the dunk that could have actually cost Gonzaga the game. And then Jalen Suggs just rises up and get that shot up out of there, passes it to Drew Timm, and Drew Timm gets the dunk. And then all of a sudden, next play, you know, Corey Kispert makes a move and stuff. And that big three they got on Gonzaga, man, they're special, man. I see why, you know what I mean, they're 31-0, and all three of them going to the NBA, man. I see why, man.
Yeah, you know, that was a very important possession with that block by Jalen. So I want to give kudos to Jalen for that defensive play, making the switch, making the rotation, coming off, and then Corey going up for that dunk and getting blocked. So that was definitely a crucial play. But on the flip side, with UCLA, Corey came back on the other end and blocked Jalen. Like that was almost a pitch perfect layup for Jalen, and then Corey comes off the weak side and blocks him, you know, on that end as well to kind of save a possession. But you know, overall, you know, I got to give credit to of course Drew Timmy. Drew Timmy had 25 points. He was 11 for 15. We've seen what he did in overtime. Two crucial left hand layups going in off the block, yeah, which was very important. One thing that amazed me was Joel Ajayi in the first half. I believe he finished in the first half with 13 points, but finished with 22 in the game, mm-hmm, with 6 rebounds, shooting 9 for 12. Yeah. He was able to get his shot off very well. He was 66% from the 3-point line, so he made some great decisions making those 3-point shots. But of course, Jalen Suggs, man. Throughout the tournament, we've talked about Jalen Suggs, and he hasn't had one of those, you know, super breakout games. But yeah, tonight was something again where he was battling through a whole bunch of nagging injuries. He came up in the first half. He got rolled up on a little bit on his ankle. Turns around, gets I think it was a finger that was sprained, and then he goes up in the second half. He gets like a gut shot in his core, and you know, he turns around and he ends up, you know, hitting the game winner from from half, and that just shows you the resiliency of Jalen. I mean, I don't want to talk about his offensive game a lot because I definitely want to focus on what he did on defense. He didn't back down from the challenge of guarding Johnny Juzang, even though Johnny had a spectacular game, as you said, with 29 points and shooting 12 for 18 from the field. But Jalen, he was saying, listen, Johnny Ju, that's their best player. I'm going to try to guard him no matter what. And he did that. And there were a couple possessions where, you know, he was able to get those stops and get some unwarranted turnovers from UCLA. And that was something that really kept Gonzaga in the game, because I felt like UCLA, they were making shots in and out, like in and out the game. They were just making just tough shots. I mean, a whole lot of shots that were just tough. And they were also being very aggressive and getting to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And for Gonzaga to stay resilient, you know, that lets you know that they're a championship team, because if that was any other team, you know, they probably would fold. And, you know, who knows, Gonzaga might go on a 7-0 run. That 7-0 run turns into an 11-0 run. That 11-0 run turns into a 15-2 run, you know, and things like that. So for Gonzaga to be able to hold the line and stick to what their offensive philosophies were, they were able to stick around in the game. And luckily, you know, they were able to get the victory with that spectacular shot by Jalen. So,
yeah, exactly. And then now, look, Gonzaga is the first team to bring an undefeated season into the national championship game since, you know, that Indiana State team, you know, did back in 1979 when they lost to Michigan State, even though, you know, that I think the University of Indiana or Indiana University was the last undefeated team to win. You know what I mean? But I want to talk about Suggs too as well. Like you said, his defense and stuff, especially in overtime. Because up until that point, with 3 seconds left, when Juzang did hit that putback, he was completely taken out the game by Jalen Suggs.
Facts, you know? Absolutely.
So yeah, like I like what Jalen Suggs bring, man. You know, you see the game. You know, I didn't really watch a lot of Gonzaga this year. You know, I know they're always good, but you know how Gonzaga is sometimes. You know, they play in that conference, and then sometimes they run into a bus or in a tournament game and get knocked out. They'll get to the Elite Eight. You know, they're strong and stuff, but sometimes they run into that bus. So I wasn't really watching Gonzaga like that. And but in that now, just, you know, locking in, focusing on the tournament and watching Gonzaga play, you know, I see why everybody's like, all right, these guys are going to be, you know, champions this year because of how they play. And that point guard, man, he's poised as a freshman like that, that good, you know, and everybody talking about Cade Cunningham and stuff. Like, you know, it's funny how, like, you know, sometimes, like, when you're watching, you know, college basketball, even when we be talking about the women's game, they'll give one or two players the, you know, the media coverage and stuff, but then you got other players that's really good and stuff. And I think just watching Cade and also watching you know, Jalen Suggs go, you know, I feel like that number one draft pick, I don't think it's as clear cut anymore like it was before, you know what I mean, with you know, Cade Cunningham going one. And I don't see it right now. And before we move on, we got Asher Lowe in the building.
Hey, yo, we got it. Hold on. Wait. We got it. Hold on. Shout out to Asher because, yes, I saw it. DA saw it. The crew saw it. Yes. And you didn't end up seeing it. What? Yo, and what we're talking about is Asher had his tweet on national television.
Yes, sir.
So that was something that was really dope. That was really dope. It was really good to see that. And he ends up missing it. Like, what happened?
So the 10 minutes that I'm not watching CBS for the last 7 hours is the time that my tweet is on national TV with Greg Gumbel. I was in between games, and I was like, all right, this might like window to get food. So I left to get food. Right outside, like right across the street, 15 minutes. I look at my phone. Someone texts me, dude, in all caps. I'm like, well, I don't know what was going on. Like, it wasn't a game going on. There wasn't, like, I don't know what's going on. I open my phone. That's all he said to me. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. Okay. I open Twitter. And then it just starts, like, going crazy. Like, everyone starts being like, oh, my God, what's going on? I get texts from, like, random people. Like, I don't know. It just, like, all starts flooding in. And then I finally got a video. My friend had recorded the game, luckily, so – I got to see it right after. And yeah, I mean, shout out a guy like Greg Gumbel reading a thing I wrote, even if it's a dumb tweet joke about him, is still a pretty cool thing because he's just a legend, man. Even you guys have grown up with him, and you're way older than I am. Like, everyone's grown up with Greg Gumbel. Yeah. He's just been around forever.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Shout out to the Gumbel brothers.
Yeah, trying to make it in this industry, like having him read something of mine, like with my name on the screen, was a pretty cool thing.
Exactly. Then maybe one day, you know, you might be able to, you know, host Final Four with him or something like that, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We basically just talking about, just doing a quick instant reaction to the big game tonight. And it's funny because I actually had UCLA winning it all, and I was almost there, man. You know, like I called South Carolina losing yesterday, you know what I'm saying, to Stanford, and I was about to be like, let's make it happen. We're about to have this UCLA is about to upset, and they were so close, Asher, man. So, like, you know, you got the floor. Like, what was your thoughts on this game, man?
I think that was the greatest sport. I know this isn't a hot take show. I know that. Yeah. And this is not a hot take when I say this. I promise.
No, I'm going to tell you why. Before you go, I'll explain why. Because, you know, I'm 38. KDOT is like 36. You're like 21 years old. So, you know, we've seen a lot more games. So, we understand. Exactly.
And I'm gonna say that when I say this, I'm gonna preface it with that, with a little asterisk, because I don't, to say something is the greatest thing of all time when I've been around 21 years on this earth is ridiculous and stupid. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. So, for me, in my lifetime of being like an able college basketball fan, so from when I was like 7 or 8 till now, that was the greatest game of basketball, NBA or college, that I've ever watched.
Wow.
My favorite for sure, and I also think it was just the best.
What about the one? All right. What about Villanova when?
No way.
Not even winning for the national championship.
Not even close to me.
Wow.
This game was 40 minutes of just wildness. Like, it was back and forth all 40 minutes. Yeah, nobody had a big lead. Yeah. Everybody was getting crazy tough shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game was pretty bad for stretches. It was just had a crazy ending.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that the only one that actually comes close to me, I was thinking about this because I did say that to myself. I was like, that's the best I've ever seen. And if I'm using basketball as a whole, the only one that comes close to me, I think, is Ray Allen game six. That one's like kind of close to me. But the ending of this one was better. And that's why I put it above, because that game had a pretty boring overtime. And so I think that this one with the overtime session that we saw was my greatest game of basketball I've ever watched.
Wow. That's big then, man. That's big. You know, you're an avid follower of the game and stuff. You know, you got Greg Gumbel bigging you up on social media, on national TV and everything. You know, you hot right now. Nah, but we was basically, you know, we was talking about just like, you know, just the game, the ebb and flow of the game and stuff, and just how everything just came to be. And like you said, it was actually really close. I think nobody went up more than seven or whatever. UCLA just kept fighting back and everything. You know, Johnny Juzang playing on the emotion of seeing his brother today for the first time in months and everything. You know, he had a really big game with 29 points. And, you know, like you watch Gonzaga a lot. So, like, I'm like, okay, that Drew Timmy, man, special, man. I like him.
Yeah. In fact, he was the only other guy that I know we were talking about this in the NCAA show chat before this podcast about player of the year. And I would get no argument, or I'd have no argument for anybody if they said Drew Timmy's my player of the year. I would have no way to come back at that. Like, I think there's every legitimate argument in the world to say he is the player of the year in college basketball over Garza, over Io, over all these guys. I think he is the most important player on the best team I've ever watched. And if you don't think that, he's maybe not the best player, who knows who the best player on that team is, right? But I think he's definitely the most important. He's definitely the most important. He's the guy, and here's how I knew that watching the Gonzaga team this year. When he's off the floor, that's what I notice most. When Suggs is on the bench, I notice it, but I don't notice it like I notice Timmy on the bench. Yeah. When Kispert's on the bench, I don't notice it like I notice when Drew's out. He is the one piece that I'm like, wow, this team looks different when he's not in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, they got a tough one, man. We was probably going to talk about Baylor and, you know what I'm saying? But I was just like, Baylor and Houston. I was like, that's a snooze fest right there, man. You know, I was surprised with Baylor and stuff winning the game, because I thought Houston's defense was going to make it, you know, make it tough on Baylor. But obviously that didn't happen and stuff like that. But, you know, just staying with this game right here, with this was a big game. This was great, man. And like UCLA is just so tough, and I just feel bad for them to lose like that, man. You know, it's like you'd rather just lose by like 40, you know what I'm saying, than you know, losing by three like that on that play,
that particular shot. Yeah.
After Juzang just makes the biggest play of the game up until that point, and then 3 seconds later. The think about the emotions of just like, oh yeah, let's go, double overtime, you feeling it, and then that shot go in the air. And I have an issue with that too. When you're in a situation like this, 3 seconds left, stop the ball, simple as that. That's what sometimes, like, you know, that just irks me about college. They just running back. You got to stop the ball no matter where you're at, because things like that can happen. You get somebody like Jalen Suggs, who practiced that shot every day, and he's stepping into it. That wasn't even a half court heave. That was a Dame Lillard logo shot.
Yeah, you know? That's so true.
He's stepping into it.
And that was a shot. That wasn't a
yeah.
Shot.
That was
a, yeah. That exactly. Was a shot. That was a shot. You know what I'm saying? And it went in, and you know, all his history and stuff. But I think that also what. I don't know if y'all agree with me, but I think we'll also doom UCLA too with how they were switching on the screens right there at the beginning of the overtime right there. And, you know, Drew, you know, he got off for three easy baskets and stuff. Like, you cannot – right now at this time, man, all bets are off. You got to fight through the screens. You know what I'm saying? Because you just gave up, you know, three easy baskets to that big man that has unlimited footwork in the post. Like a – I'm not going to say Kevin McHale and stuff like that. He has like three moves less than Kevin McHale, but he's so savvy, you know what I mean, in that low block and stuff. And, you know, he's in the zone. And I just wish that they didn't, you know, switch the screens. And also Asher, Cody Riley didn't foul him out. And he had four fouls. He played for all that time with four fouls and didn't foul him out. So I had a little bit of issue with that.
That's a really good point. Yeah, and he was taking a lot of jumpers. And he was making them.
He was making them.
I can't really fault him in that sense, but he was playing a little bit too much on the perimeter. I definitely agree. He has a tendency to do that. He's always had a tendency. He's had since Sierra Canyon. He's had a tendency to do that. Like he plays a little bit perimeter oriented sometimes. Let's get a little fancy with the dribble. Mm-hmm. Let's take those like off the dribble long twos. He has better players on his team to do just that. Like Johnny and Hawkes are probably the two best long two off the dribble shooters in the tournament. And Cody does it a lot, but he was making them today or tonight. So I also wanted to say, you mentioned Gonzaga switching. I think that, or UCLA switching on Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga also made a very weird defensive decision from Mark Few. Decisions I don't usually see him make wrong, but I saw him make one glaring one tonight and didn't fix it for a while. It took a while for them to not do it. I don't know why they pressed.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. They went 1-2-2 in one instance, and then turned around and did a 2-2-1 in another instance, which in the 2-2-1 setting, Johnny Juzang was able to get open for a three. That was in the first half when the one that I saw when they ran the 2-2-1. I just don't understand why you would go full court like that. Running that type of defense.
It's just against the personnel you're playing against. Like this UCLA team, everybody can handle it.
Yeah.
Everybody on the floor, except unless a backup big is in, everybody can handle it well.
Yeah.
So I just didn't really understand that. And they want to play slow, so taking 10 seconds off the shot clock, because that's why a lot of college teams press. A lot of college teams don't press to get turnovers. They just press because the shot clock is 30. It's so long that they don't want you to have 30 seconds. They want you to have, 18 to 20 seconds to really get into your set instead of 25 to 28. And a lot of coaches will just press to take off some time. But UCLA doesn't care about that. They're insane with like 5 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah, they are. Man, that was a good game, man. That was a good game. And what you said about Cody Riley, I made a point about that yesterday. We was talking about the women's game with Aaliyah Boston. And Zaya Cook. How Zaya was cooking from the perimeter so much that it completely took their inside out game that South Carolina plays with. And that right there, it kind of cost them the game because they wasn't really giving the ball down there in the post and stuff. Sometimes, players got to learn how to mix it up. Like when I play, even if my jump shot was going, I know where my home is at. You know what I'm saying? And I got to protect that. And if I knew that somebody got four fouls, like I am working my butt off to make sure that I get post position, to make sure that this guy is going to foul out. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like Drew, he was playing them really hard, right? And he negated, Cody Riley from getting post position every single time. And I was just like, Riley, he's a big guy. You know what I mean? Like I don't know how he didn't outwork him to get that position to, make a move and get Drew out of there, because that was the game right there, I thought. And I'm like, he had four fouls for so long. And they didn't even try to, Asher, So I think that's something that, Cody is gonna have to live with, man. Yeah, he played a good game, but also you're supposed to get Drew out of there, man. You are supposed to.
Two guys that I want to shout out to. Andrew Nembhard hit one of the biggest shots of the entire night. Mm. That straightaway three to put him up five.
Yeah.
And then Joel Ai is that dude. Those two guys would be the best player. I've said this, I think maybe I even said this on the first show about Nembhard, but it's true about Nembhard and Ai. They would be the best player on, I want to say, 80 to 85% of college teams this year. That would be your best player.
Mm.
And they're on the same team and they're not even top three. That's how stacked this team is.
Yeah, yeah, it's stacked enough that your fourth best player, which is Ayayi, score all the points to start the game. I think he scored like the first seven. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that
team, seven, that team, is, I, that team yeah. is deep. It was the first seven, 3 of 3. Yeah, he went 3 of 3 quick.
That team is deep. So, all right, before we get out of here, we just wanted to do a quick, instant reaction before we balance the stuff. So let's talk about Monday's game real quick. We have Baylor versus Gonzaga. Real quick, K-Dot, who you got winning?
I'm going to keep it going with Gonzaga, man. I had Gonzaga in my bracket. I'm going to keep it going. Even though Baylor looked really, really impressive today, defensively, they were impressive. Offensively, they were impressive. Gonzaga finally got that close game. And I really think that catapults them into the national champions and going 32-0. Because of what happened last night, I think it's a case where, okay – the game, the regular season game was canceled. We finally get a chance to play Baylor, finally get a chance to see, you know, an incredible matchup, you know, the storyline. We got, you know, we got the guards, we got Jalen and Ayayi, and then we got Mitchell and Jared Butler. You know, that's going to be something incredible to watch. So I still have Gonzaga taking it just because I got him in my bracket, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I know Asher got Gonzaga, so Asher, go ahead, make your pick.
I won't waste your time. Gonzaga, it was Gonzaga in November. It's Gonzaga in April.
Yeah, I might go with the underdogs real quick on this one.
Yeah, as go, well, against like the gray, go against the gray. Go against the gray.
I almost, Asher, I almost had it.
You gotta disagree.
I almost had it, Asher. I almost had it with UCLA, man. You know, because I like Johnny Juzang, man. When you kept talking about that, like, let me look him up. And I'm looking at his game, and I'm looking at, you know, just highlights and stuff. And I'm like, oh, he's really good, you know. And he's tough, man. And I was just like, okay, let's see what he got. So that's why I was checking him out. But man, I don't know. I mean, I want to go against the grain, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if I want to go against the grain on this one. I do like Davion Mitchell. You know, he played just like his brother. You know what I mean? They got the same exact game. I think Davion just has a little bit less athleticism, but kind of like a better defender and stuff, and a better actual, you know, setting up the offense to, you know, get his team in the offense and stuff. What do you got? 12 points and 11 assists tonight. So I like Davion. I think that he's a late first rounder too. I think that he has a shot to get in and stuff. But, you know, like Gonzaga is just too much, man. I'm not going to go against the grain. I'm going to agree with y'all. Like, Drew, I'm on Drew Timm's team right now, man. Like, I love post play. You know what I'm saying? And, like what he was doing, I was just like, God dang. Like, he's really a great player. So, I'm definitely going to Gonzaga is going to win. Close game, but Gonzaga is going to win by 7. I think that Kispert is going to have a big game tomorrow. Kispert is going to have a big game Monday. And stuff like that. So that's I guess we got our predictions and stuff. And with that being said, thank you for tuning into the NCAA show brought to you by 265 Media. KDOT, Asher, you know, better late than never. You know, he get his name mentioned by Greg Gumbel, and he just want to come to the podcast so late, but still he's still here. That's my guy right there and stuff, man. I'm Daniel Artest, and with that being said, love is love. We'll see y'all on the next one. I guess we'll talk women's basketball, the national championship game, and we'll be back. Peace.